on the WB's new Tuesday and all new Gilmore Girls. The two men Rory cares for most face life-altering changes.
I'm your father.
What?
I asked Lindsay to marry me. She said yes.
Why now?
Changes that may leave her behind.
I'm not going back to school.
And you gotta go.
There's something going on with him.
You can't make him talk to you.
Have a nice life.
I'll call you.
An all-new Gilmore Girls.
Hillary, love it or leave it.
You know what? I'm on board with her. With her just being, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on board with her existing. I don't know how I feel about her trying to tell me that I can't eat, you know, foods and whatnot.
That's more Michelle Obama than Hillary.
What's the? I don't know what the. Aren't all women just like one?
Uh oh.
Say goodnight, Gracie.
Goodnight, Gracie. Well, it's not actually say in the title. It's just goodnight, Gracie.
In the title of the episode?
Of this episode?
Are you sure?
No, I'm not.
It's say goodnight, Gracie.
It's say goodnight, Gracie? Okay, I'm stupid. Welcome to Gilmore Guys. I'm Kevin.
I'm Demi.
And we are
the Gilmore Guys.
This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Squarespace. Now, unlike anything I've ever talked about on the air, I actually stand by Squarespace. I actually do because I've used it for everything I've made. Literally, GilmoreGuysShow.com, the very website for this very podcast, was made using Squarespace. How beautiful is that? KevinTPorter.com, I made that using Squarespace. My old bake shop website, that was made using Squarespace. Because you can do it all with Squarespace. You can sell content on your website. So exclusive stuff behind a paywall. You can sell memberships, courses, or sell files your customers can download, like PDFs, music, or eBooks. You can do that with Squarespace. You can do analytics with Squarespace. So you can figure out who's visiting your website and why. And figure out how to get traffic and where's it coming from. You can also have people do flexible payments on Squarespace. Make checkout seamless for your customers with simple but powerful payment tools. Accept credit cards, PayPal, Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer customers the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and ClearPay. How nice is that? You can also do email campaigns, so there's constant outreach for your stuff and people know where to find you. So I'm going to let you know where to find Squarespace. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/GilmoreGuys to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or a domain. That's squarespace.com/GilmoreGuys.
Thank you guys for joining us for another week. Well, I say that. This is actually the middle of the week because this is a Wednesday episode.
Thank you guys for joining us for another Wednesday.
I used to go, there was this place, the Chinese food place we would go in high school called Hens. Super good. This is in Kingwood, Texas. And we'd go every Wednesday. We'd sneak off campus and we'd call it, well, Hens Day. And that was a fun thing we did.
So guys, these awful puns started really early for you.
I think that wasn't me, though. Okay. I think that was someone else. But then I heard, I was like, I can do worse
than that. You doubled down.
That was my origin story of sorts. Guys, 320, we got two episodes left in the season. This is getting
crazy.
One of them's a live show, so one of them will be good, and one of them might be amazing or a disaster.
Yeah.
TBD. But we do have Jessica St. Clair as the guest for that, so nothing terribly can go wrong. I think even, like, seriously, I think even if we got up there and we, like, peed ourselves and forgot how to talk, slipped on our own pee, and then, like, started bleeding from our heads, it would still be a good show because everyone would be excited to see us.
Also, most of that is visual and it's an audio thing, so most people wouldn't even know that.
Right, so we could just
ourselves.
Play music over it, and yeah. People would assume that's going super well. But we're not doing the season finale today. We're doing episode 320, Say Goodnight, Gracie.
Yep.
And we got two guests.
That we do.
A sweet twofer.
Is this the first time we've had two guests on an episode?
It is, yes.
Ooh.
First time we've ever done two for an ep. So let's introduce those dudes right now.
La la, la la.
A special guest. Well, of course, you know these gentlemen from their Disney Channel show, Austin and Ally. Ladies and gentlemen, it's John Paul Green and Calum Worthy.
La la,
special guest.
Oh, they join all the Lalas. I love it. Oh, my gosh. Yay. And now it's going away. Say goodbye. Say goodnight, Gracie. Guys, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having us.
What a thrill. This is just like a regular little bro down, just a bro out, you know?
Just a bro down, ho down.
Bro down, for ho down, four bros in the room together.
A regular entourage.
Yeah. So guys, tell us about your experience, your relationship with the show Gilmore Girls. I almost said Gilmore Guys. Tell us about your relationship.
How do you
with
feel
show.
About us?
Yeah.
Tell us con. Everything you want to tell us about us. I knew that I, to be honest, and I was scared to say, admit this, I thought Gilmore Girls for a long time was about witches.
You actually did?
I did. I thought, and then I realized there was another show.
Charmed?
Charmed. And I thought all these years, I mean, like, as of 3 years ago, I was like, oh, yeah, Gilmore Girls, it's Lauren Graham, and she plays a witch. Okay, next.
Lauren Graham plays a witch.
I'd watch that show.
I would totally watch that show.
We're developing that show, actually.
Right, right, right. Don't, no one take that idea.
Yeah, please don't.
Oh, my gosh. We'll cut that out, then.
It's like a, yeah, please, it's like a Parenthood spinoff.
Witchhood. Yeah. Witchhood.
Yeah. So that was my experience. I thought it was about witches, and apparently it's not, after watching Goodnight Gracie. Yeah, and Lauren Graham went to, was an alumni for my school that I went to, my university, my uni, but I never have met her, so I've never got to talk to her about Gilmore Girls.
Okay.
Right.
I'm sure she loves to talk about
it. I can pull some strings, though, I think.
You should.
Pony up. So, SMU.
Okay, and what was your relationship with Kaelin?
To be completely honest, Gilmore Girls for me, at first, was kind of the sloppy seconds to Seventh Heaven. So
ooh,
I just watched Seventh Heaven first.
How right? The tables
and
have
then
turned now.
I watched it. But as of recent, because it's on Netflix, I actually have been watching, hence why you guys have a show, I've been watching later episodes of the show, which I'm really enjoying.
Later episodes.
Like the ones, like all the ones that I missed growing up because I was watching Seventh Heaven.
Okay, because you watched it growing up, like the first couple of seasons, but then you never saw. And how are you finding that experience has been, because that's, I don't know if I've heard of that experience before, where you watch a bunch of them when you're young and then you complete it when you're much older.
Yeah, for me, the thing that really changed me is I drink a lot of coffee, I speak really fast, and I now have a 32-year-old mom. So it's really changed everything for me.
Your mom is now 32
Rory.
Years old.
She's now 32. She's now I'm pretty 32. Much Rory. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Wait. Is your mom 32?
She's 32.
Wow.
So she had you when she was
30.
Young.
Yeah, she had me when she was 8.
Plus
right.
30.
Yeah.
Right, 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 right.
She was an 8-year-old mom. It was really sad, actually.
She was overweight.
That's kind of a bummer.
Yeah. But also a record?
Yeah, yep, so it's not too much book. Of a bummer.
They call me the miracle baby.
Wow.
Our little miracle.
So things turned out great.
Yeah, it's great.
Well,
great.
Because you're from Canada, it's technically the miracle on ice.
It's the miracle on ice, yeah.
Oh, that's
yeah,
true. Exactly.
Slide you around like a hockey puck.
That's what babies sound like in Canada.
Well, sorry.
Sorry. Okay, so you're Kalem's a little more of the experienced veteran.
A little bit.
A little bit more.
Yeah, yeah, I've been catching up.
Not a diehard.
And my
diehard.
Wife binge watched it.
Borat over here.
Oh yeah, from Bruno.
Yeah, from Bruno.
She watched, and so I watched like 30% of the episode. So I know the girls, the GGs, but
the witches
of
the ladies of Eastwick,
Gilmore right. Witches. Okay, you know what's funny about that though, and what I was going to bring up is that there was a show. It was only on for like 6 episodes on ABC, maybe less or maybe a little bit more, but it's called Eastwick.
Yeah.
And they used the exact same set as Stars Hollow. The gazebo is the same. It's like.
Was it on at the same time?
No, this was like 2008 or 9. So this was after Gilmore had been canceled.
Oh, I was imagining they're shot at the same time. They're like, all right, Gilmore's wrapped. Just put on some cobwebs.
No, I wonder about like how long they could reserve this set for, because that must have been a popular set to use for like different TV shows and movies and stuff.
Was Ed Westwick in Eastwick?
Should have been.
Not to my knowledge.
He did the music.
He did the music for it? Yeah, I thought so. I thought I saw his name somewhere.
Ed Westwick did Eastwick. Well, let's get into the episode discussion. This is episode 320, Say Goodnight, Gracie, which we all know is from
Say Goodnight,
TV.
Gracie.
It's from TV.
It's from a play.
Wait, is it from a play?
Yeah, called Say Goodnight, Gracie.
But there's also Burns and Allen. Wait, no, there's a variety show. That was like the famous thing from.
Right.
And he would say goodnight, say goodnight to Gracie, say goodnight, comma, Gracie. And she'd say goodnight, Gracie, because she's stupid or something. That's like the joke, right?
pretty good joke.
Right, she would repeat it in like a, she spoke in like a high pitched voice, right? Like, good night, Gracie.
Yeah,
right.
I think she.
I know vaguely.
What's the variety show? Why are we dumb? Bunch of dumb millennials in here.
What's a variety show?
Is it from an Instagram?
If it's not a Snapchat, not interested. No, thank you. Written, well, the writing credits are kind of funny on this. This is teleplay by Amy Sherman-Palladino and Janet Leahy, and story by Amy Sherman-Palladino. So Janet was really getting it in under the wire on this. I don't know if it was like a contractual thing where they had to give it to her, like a teleplay and
she's
a credit.
Like, what if they have a fight? And then it's like, oh, I guess I got to credit you now.
Damn it. And then directed by Jamie Babbitt, a mainstay of the directing stable. And the Netflix synopsis is, after Jess and Dean's brawl, Lane is in trouble with her mother, and Luke is furious at Jess. Later, Jess's estranged father appears at the diner. So that's the synopsis.
Yeah.
Sure.
They don't mention the funeral.
Yeah, the funeral is a big part of it.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, this was a downer episode.
It was.
It wasn't a sunshiny one. It was more of a Barack Obama. But let's get into it with a little segment we call Pop
Goes the Culture,
where we take every single pop culture reference in the episode and put them together in a supercut and listen to them back and see what's going on. So this is episode 320. Say goodnight, Gracie. Pop Goes the Culture.
Seems a little party you went to last night got a little Animal House, huh?
Then we snuck out the back door of the speakeasy and headed straight for the Algonquin.
How was Benchley?
Drunk again.
Well, not as cool as Bono, but I'll take it.
Like Doris Day. Que sera.
Sera.
The day the music died? Kirk.
After I finished with my Fairly Brothers audition in the bushes, thank you for the hair holding, by the way.
Anytime.
I'll stay home and dance around in your underwear to the Monkey's Greatest Hits night.
Every table's full, and I've got Sammy Davis Jr. here thinking it's the Desert Inn.
No, it was more Stepford than Colt.
To be or not to be?
Just wait till you care what in style thinks of you, young lady. That backpack is permanently scarred. That backpack is Zelda Fitzgerald.
Did you ever know that you're my hero?
Oh, my God.
Oh, who can take a sunrise, sprinkle it with dew, cover it in chocolate and a miracle or two, the Candyman.
Damn it, Candyman.
Damn it, Candyman.
I tell you what, though, what's interesting about that and about the Candyman song is that this is a teaser, not a spoiler, but the Candyman song comes into play in a big way later in another season during a very big moment for the show. I'm not kidding.
Oh, man.
The Candyman song is like, not pivotal. It's not pivotal, but it's like...
Is someone putting like barbed wire in candy and sending it out like the Candyman did in the 70s?
Oh, is that what the song's based on? It's not from Willy Wonka?
Yeah, I think that guy, whoever that serial killer was, like heard that song and was like, oh yeah, that's the thing I'm gonna adopt.
Oh hell yeah.
And started putting like poison in candy.
It's a pretty good idea.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
It's already poison thought of candy? Now, but we can reboot it.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, what's the modern generation Candyman?
Oh no, it'd have to be in an Instagram. The Instagram man can.
Oh, he'll unfollow you if you eat the candy.
It'd be like, what's that movie, Unfriended, that just came out?
Oh yeah, that hit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The hit, well, it did all right.
Oh, by the time this comes out, it's going to be number one at the box office.
It probably will.
That's the one on the laptops, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
The Skype killings.
Zelda Fitzgerald.
Oof.
Bummer.
Too soon.
That's fine. But I didn't understand it because, like, did her Ocarina of Time get ruined? Did her Majora's Mask get ruined?
Oh,
no? Am I missing something here?
Not at all. What if we just like let that joke play and we get a lot of tweets just like, Zelda Fitzgerald is a person.
Actually, for some reason in my mind, they all start with actually.
Oh, they do.
Oh, maybe.
Just not enough characters for it.
Yes.
You only get 140.
Yeah.
Yeah. About as many characters in this show.
Hey,
it's Hollow.
It's a real tweet of a town.
It's a tweet of a town.
This is the show. This is how we do this.
This is how we do this. Other pop culture references we wanted to talk about.
It's real Animal House there.
I got real Animal House. Yeah, these two episodes really do feed into each other, almost as one piece in a way that most of the episodes don't.
Right.
A lot of them are kind of their own piece, but this one's kind of...
It's a tour.
Yeah.
Well, I thought it was nice that they color-coded all the cups in the yard from the party. It was evenly spaced out red cups.
It was pretty much
all
was,
on the upside down all across the yard.
It was very
set
design-y.
That was nice. Yeah.
Yeah. If only like Andy Kendrick was there to make a song out of them.
Oh, Into the Woods.
Yeah, Into
yep,
the Woods.
Into the Woods.
That's
yeah.
The ref.
Great movie.
Yeah, I love that movie.
Oh, I love it when she plays the cups.
When she has the cups.
Movie.
Yeah, the last 5 years.
Oh, boy. Very enjoyable episode, but yeah, kind of a downer. We finally meet Jess's father.
Yeah, Jimmy.
Jimmy, which, okay, total retcon. So in episode 205 of this of the series, they talk about this is Jess's first episode back in season 2. And Luke says, oh, yeah, the dad took off when, you know, about 2 years ago. So he would have been like 16 at the time or 17 or whatever.
Right.
And in this episode, now Jimmy took off when he was a kid because he does not recognize him at all. So they did that, I guess, to make it sadder or to make it.
It didn't land for me at all.
It did not.
Yeah. Like the all of his Jess's dad was as annoying to me as Jess is. Are y'all team Jess? Like, where do you guys stand on this? Team Jess, team Dean?
I've been told I would be team Dean.
Yeah?
I'm team Dean, too.
You've been told.
I didn't like the young man, Jess. Mm-hmm. He came off as very angsty,
mm-hmm.
and he looked like a Catcher in the Rye character.
Mm. Yep.
Mainly Holden Caulfield.
Yes.
who he would love.
Not the other catcher in the right character.
The pitcher.
So yeah, I'm teen Dean. But then I also had a problem with Dean. So maybe
is
I stand
Dean
in the middle.
This episode?
Dean is not in this episode. Oh, yes, yes, yes.
He
yes,
does, yes.
Yeah, because he drops that big bomb.
He drops that T-bomb.
Or the E-bomb, really.
Hey-o.
What's the T-bomb?
Truth bomb.
Oh,
an E-bomb
true.
Would be engage.
Yeah, I
and
guess.
An A-bomb engage would be an atom bomb.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, where's some other bombs?
What if he dropped an A bomb?
If he dropped an, if he,
I would definitely not be Team Dean.
Right?
No,
you know that would push me over the edge.
Yeah,
to Dean, he killed
be jumping the
millions
shark if they did
of
that.
People. That would suck. Oh yeah, because he did have that one. He was getting all haughty with Dean. With Rory when he said,
"It's good news. You can't just be happy for me."
I can. I am. I just.
You know what? I'm sorry if you have a crappy relationship with Jess.
Hey, that has...
And I'm sorry if he treats you like dirt and everyone hates him, but that was your choice. I have a great girlfriend and I'm really happy, and when
Sounds
you dumped
like...
me for that jackass, I thought I'd never be happy again.
Whoa.
I feel like those sides have been used in every single acting class since this episode came out.
Is probably. That true?
Probably. It just seems like the kind of thing that you'd read in like a beginner's acting class.
A little bit, and it sounded like he was about to cry.
He was unloading.
Yeah.
Right?
He was letting off some steam.
He matured as an actor quite a bit.
I actually agree. I think Jared Padalecki does a great job in this episode.
Yeah.
Call me crazy.
I worked with him once, and everyone on set called me Padalecki Skidmark, and I have no idea what they're talking about to this day.
They called you?
They called me Padalecki Skidmark, and
what
I was like,
that
what's
mean?
That? That's what
Wait,
I said.
Wait, you worked with him, but they called you?
Padalecki Skidmark.
Okay.
What
like,
was...
you're his shit stain?
I don't know. That's the question.
What was the...
Did he poop his pants or something? And he, like...
I'm wondering if I
passed it
pants.
On to you. Yeah.
You're not sure.
Like,
you're
like, hey, I don't know. Padalecki Skidmark over
oh,
here.
Oh, or I didn't know if you were saying they called Padalecki Skidmark.
Yeah.
Like,
no.
Hey, there's
they
Skidmark.
Called me
See,
Padalecki
that doesn't
Skidmark.
Make any sense
like,
to me.
Like, it's his Skidmark.
That's strange.
That's a tough
Odd.
Nickname
yep.
of mystery origin. So, yeah, let's break down this little plot point. Dean is engaged to Lindsay.
Also, do they just kind of ignore the fact that Dean, like, does Dean ever mention that he fought Jess?
No, that's why I want to imagine the conversation when he gets home. I mean, they acknowledge it in that Luke says, oh, yeah, Dean already has a financial plan set out with Kyle and
sure,
his
yeah.
family.
Right.
For all the figurines, the one with the tooth.
No, that's true. Yeah. What is the conversation that happens when he gets home?
It's so, because Lindsay was there. She
yeah.
was at the party. So,
and they probably weren't engaged at the time.
Right.
They weren't riding high on anything.
Right. So yeah. they're driving home, and he says, you know, like, I don't even, what would that be?
That would be the probably the best time to do it is post Animal House fight.
Post beating
I can't
up
believe that fight you were in. Yeah, it was crazy.
Hey, would you be interested in marrying me?
Would you be would you fancy?
Would you fancy a marriage with me, Dean?
But that's the
fancy
dream, right?
Wedding.
When you marry someone, that's what you want to happen.
Yeah,
post
you want it
fight.
To be right
yeah.
after they
post
beat
fight.
Up their ex-girlfriend's current boyfriend.
Right.
Probably ex-boyfriend.
I don't know what we're going to end up. You want to get married?
Yeah. Like, how, and what, it does make you think, what kind of mental and emotional place is Lindsay at, too? That she is...
Vulnerable.
DTM.
Yeah.
Or at least DTE.
Down to marry.
Yeah.
DTW,
down to engage.
Down to wed.
With an E-bomb.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how it happened for me. I Elizabeth, my wife, she said... I'm not marrying you unless you get in a fight.
so then we got in a fight.
Then Caleb and I got in a fight, and then she said, okay, you got it.
Wow.
Yeah, I dropped a E-bomb.
You didn't have to give her father any goats or anything?
No.
Wow.
I did have to work out a payment plan For helping restore some of the house.
Okay. Yeah, the fence.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The fence. Dang.
Which looks great now.
Thanks.
Okay. Honestly, I want to buy a house and just have people fight just so I can replace some stuff.
Yeah, that'd be like a fun project. Did Kyle have any lines in this episode?
No.
Sweet Kyle.
Warner Brothers seems like the best place to have a fight. Like, that seems like the nicest street in America.
It's very clean.
Yeah.
Very clean.
Right.
Very,
no bumps.
Very
no
clean.
Bumps. No bumps about it.
What? He just said very clean and then, like, winked at me? I don't know what you're talking about.
Neither do I. Okay, also, guys, just FYI, because I've tried. It's not possible to read the Bible in one night.
It's not.
It's not. You can have all the coffee in the world. You cannot get
But the key is the lighting.
The key,
to this episode.
Yeah, good lighting.
Yeah.
All it takes is determination and good lighting.
Apparently, yeah. Mrs. Kim has done it three times, which
that was
after the one.
Cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
I like the two Shakespeare references in one episode because they said to be or not to be. Mm-hmm. And then Miss Kim says that was a Shakespeare quote.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when Miss Kim said that, I immediately said, oh, that's not the Bible, that's Shakespeare. But I couldn't remember what play it was from. Mm-hmm. And then I went and looked it up, and then they explain at the end. So I didn't even need to do that.
Not look it up?
Well, that's the thing. It's like, yeah, it's 2003. Computers are real. So
they dropped a
real.
Yahoo reference.
You could, yeah, I mean, you could Bing it. You could Lycos it, Alta Vista.
Dogpile.
Ask Jeeves.
Yep.
Jeeves would know.
Jeeves would definitely
Maybe know. He wanted to do it because that was part of
the devotion.
The grand romantic gesture. I feel like we're talking about without context. So Dave Rogowski goes over to the Kim residence.
Right.
After Mrs. Kim is kind of freezing out, laying in a weird Stepford way, and she's not really acknowledging.
Not cold, but more like Stepford.
Right. Just like, okay, here you go, blah, blah, blah. And was that racist?
That was a little racist.
Okay.
Is it? Well, it's her voice.
I'm imitating the character, which is already kind of... Like, if I imitate Mickey Rooney's character in Breakfast at Tiffany's, am I racist?
Not if you're doing Mickey Rooney's character.
Okay.
Yeah, I think you're good there.
All right. I think we solved racism today, guys.
I think we did. Yeah.
Wow.
We should go in this episode.
We're all four shaking hands now.
Yeah.
Thanks, hooray, everybody. But he goes over. He's like trying to mend it or like fix the damage or whatever. Because Mrs. Kim is probably in a state of shock and denial. You know,
very much.
So so many of the women on these shows get into these states of denial, like Emily does about so many things. And he comes over and he drops.
A few weeks ago, you told me that Lane had a crush on me. Well, I have a crush on her, too. Now, I know you have very strict rules about dating and boys, but I just want you to know that I'm a good person. I don't smoke. I don't drink. I've never gotten a ticket. I'm healthy. I take care of myself. I floss. I never watch more than 30 minutes of television a night, partly because I think it's a waste of time and partly because there's nothing on.
Meta.
I respect my parents. I do well in school. I never play video games in case they do someday prove that playing them can turn you into a serial killer. I don't drink coffee. I hate soda because the carbonation freaks me out. I'm happy to give up if you feel strongly about it.
Yeah,
I don't mind wearing
screaming.
A tie. I enjoyed playing those hymns on my guitar, and I really, really want to take your daughter to the prom.
He sounds like a serial killer as he says it.
Yeah.
But if you see his face, he doesn't.
I brush my face three times a day. I swipe my hair, the comb across my hair exactly.
Yeah, if it was John Malkovich saying it, sure.
Also, he listed every boring quality. I mean, he literally, like, I understand the point is that he's trying to make him seem less threatening.
He's catering to his audience.
Sure, but I also think there was some truth to that. And if that's the case, he's like really boring, right? I mean, if he's afraid of soda,
that's fun and quirky, right?
Ah, Dr. Pepper.
Like, that is funny. I want to see that scene.
It's 30
minutes of television, though. Like, you can't watch. Like, what if he likes Grey's Anatomy? He only watches, like, half an episode. He's like, oh, that's it.
He has no idea what happens in half.
Second act done. I'm out.
What if he's super into an hour-long show, but he
could
really
not
like
watch his own show.
Yeah, he could not watch his own show.
He couldn't watch he couldn't watch Gilmore Girls.
The Ock.
Right. He would watch the 30 minutes of Seventh Heaven. And then be like, well, that's it. I have to go to bed now before a soda can comes out.
He cuts together all his scenes in the OC.
Yeah, he's moving to Orange County after this, right?
Yeah.
Right. Guys, I mean, this, it's not a spoiler, but this is like, this is the last of Dave.
And it's the same character on the OC, right? He plays...
More or less, yeah.
Which is why
he's
so lovelorn in the first season. Then he meets Summer.
Well, he moves to water where there's no bubble, the carbonation.
Right.
It's all water.
Mm-hmm.
Where he can play his guitar, he can play his hymns, and doesn't play video games because
video games.
That turns you into a serial killer.
I think he's more into pop culture on the OC than he is on this show.
Probably.
Yeah.
He's into comic books very much.
But you know what? I found that little monologue to be very touching. I was into it. Were you not?
No, I liked it, but it felt very, I'm just a guy standing in front of a girl asking him to love her, you know? Asking her to...
I love Notting Hill, by the way, so I'm really glad that that came up.
Okay.
Is that a Notting Hill ref?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a Notting Hill reference.
I've never seen it.
Oh, it's like, it's great.
Okay, so this story of Mrs. Kim and Lane and Dave, the resolution is that he can take her to the prom, but she's grounded 2 months before and after. It's 2 months after.
What does the grounding entail? Because she's pretty much already like not allowed to do anything.
Right. It seems like a raw deal to me. It doesn't seem like prom is worth it.
No.
To be grounded for that long. I'd much rather hang out with someone for like months rather than one night.
And no one really enjoys their prom. No. I mean, it's a lot of buildup for one thing. Sex.
Well, that turns us to our first Twitter Q&A.
Twitter Q&A.
Sonia Valadez asked, what was your prom experience like?
I didn't go.
You did not go?
Didn't even ask anyone.
I didn't go to my senior prom. I did go to my junior prom, and I was asked by a friend of mine, who I just realized might listen to this. She probably doesn't, but she ended up, I think she might have been bisexual at the time, but I think now she's completely gay. But
she's fully sexual.
Yeah. I'd like to think I had a hand in that.
I went to eight proms.
I think we all had a hand in that.
You went to eight proms?
I went to eight proms.
Oh, my gosh.
This year. I didn't go to any in high school. Just
for meet and greets.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
How old are you?
I'm 24. Okay. No, but when I was in high school, I went to eight proms from ninth grade to 12th grade.
You went as a ninth grader to a prom?
Yeah.
Wow.
I imagine had two dates to each prom, and you're just like, how am I gonna, you switch costumes mid.
Yeah, I remember adding up how much I spent on like tux rentals, and I could have bought like three great.
Why didn't you just
tuxes?
Buy one?
Well, I didn't know. I couldn't, see the future that I'm going to go to eight proms when I was 14.
Oh, that's
14.
True. Because the ninth grade tux would not have fit in 12th grade.
No.
Yeah. Unless you bought a really big one, and then over the 4 years, you grew into it.
Right.
That's true. Did you get to go to all those proms because you were on Longmire?
Longmire was post all those proms.
Oh, okay.
What's Longmire? Yeah.
Longmire's the A&E show.
It's an A&E
show. Sekoff. Netflix show now.
Now it's a Netflix show.
Yeah.
Well.
Netflix saved the day.
I wasn't going to go to my senior prom because my junior prom that I went to, we all got like a hotel room, but there was like this guy like walking around trying to like kill us all. And so it was like, I just don't want to be here. Like, I don't want to do this again.
They made a movie out of that.
What?
Didn't they make a movie out of that? Part of your prom experience?
Oh, yeah. Prom? We sold the rights to prom night.
Yeah, prom night.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, that was our script.
So you went to prom in the 80s?
Yeah.
Rad.
89.
With Jamie Lee Curtis?
Yes.
Wow. Wonderful. Marie Johnson on Twitter asked, does Dave Rogowski have any flaws, or is he pretty much the most perfect male character to be seen?
He's got flaws.
Show?
He's scared of soda.
Yeah, that is a flaw. I would say that Luke is a more ideal character than Dave. Although, I don't know, because our time with Luke is so much longer than it is with Dave.
You know what especially bugged me about that monologue scene? It felt very much like one of those things that you know is going to get, like, plastered everywhere on the internet, like, just as quotes, just like, Dave is the perfect guy because of this scene. And it's like, that's a really idealized version.
It's a snippet that doesn't really reflect a reality.
Yes. Yeah. And it's very much like, here are the qualities that you want to hear about me. What you don't know is like, I'm gross as shit. I also don't shower. I eat worms for breakfast.
Deodorant is a construct.
Right, yeah. I'm still convinced that Poltergeist is real.
9/11 was an inside job. Holocaust
yeah, he's a
happened.
Truther.
He's definitely a truther.
Yeah, he's definitely a truther.
I'm just a guy standing in front of a girl's mother saying,
look,
steel
late.
Can't melt at that temperature.
I'm just a guy standing in front of a girl's mom just letting you know, look at Tower 7. I mean, it
Oh, no. Uh-oh.
Lane, I'm just saying there's nothing on the records about United.
Oh, is that your Dave Rogowski?
Yes. he wanted to call the band United 93.
Not fall to the edge of the desert.
Adam, can we do that scene again and just maybe like lay off a little bit on the 9/11 stuff?
You guys can cut around me all you want, but it's going to get...
Bush did it. Let's get into another storyline, kicking it off with a little sound clip.
Well, you saw him.
Now get out of here.
Now beat it.
It really is. It's like a 1940s gangster talking to a raccoon.
Why don't you hit the road, Scraps?
Which worked for me. I mean, Protective Luke and like Mad Dad Luke worked for me in this episode.
It's
for
just
the most
voice.
Part.
It's very Harrison Ford. Get off my plane.
Yeah, where's my family? But so Jimmy comes back to town. He comes to the diner like a weirdo. Gets coffee and then doesn't drink for it. He runs away. And this
that was so weird.
This is when Jess is all super sassy because he's having to do his job. And he has lines
he's a
like,
terrible
coffee coming up. Glad to make your dining dreams come true.
He's a
terrible server.
Yeah, he's an asshole.
Yeah.
Just was really inappropriate.
Really bad waiter.
I thought the guest star for this episode would be the guy with the omelets. The one that he's trying to find the omelets for. Remember
yeah.
that? I
oh,
thought
yeah,
that
yeah.
was going to be the trigger for the next guest star, but not the coffee guy. I did not see the coffee
it was
guy.
Kirk.
Who was what?
Kirk.
Oh, yeah. Kirk had some stuff in this episode.
Who just didn't know that it was his food. He was just like, oh, I guess I don't have any food in front of me.
Kirk's got problems, man.
Does anybody have jobs?
They do. Well,
the problem is they have too many jobs.
You know, it's funny. I was reading about the background for, like, the background actors for the show, and they said, and it's pretty common. It's probably common in a lot of shows, but for Luke's, they said they would try to use the same 20 to 30 people. They wouldn't get new ones every
right.
time, which makes sense for like a smaller town.
So if you got background on Gilmore Girls, you were
cha-ching, yeah. baby.
It's $100
a week. $100 a week.
And that's 2003 money, so that's a lot more.
Yeah,
now.
So you could
right.
buy three houses
oh, yeah.
with that.
You invest.
Yeah.
Just don't give it to Bernie Madoff, because he made off with your money. No?
That's a reference from 2003.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Oh, 2007.
Yeah, I'm just saying it's an old joke.
They
yeah.
could go see Return of the Kings as many times as they wanted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and they would.
And they would, and they would reference it a billion times on this show.
They talk about
they have.
Lord of the Rings like 50 times.
Constantly, for some reason. So Jimmy comes back to town just to see him. I don't know, I just wanted to see him. Like, that's his rationale.
He had a stroke.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, his left side goes
right.
numb. Yeah, so he just wants to see him. He leaves his wallet behind like a dummy. Do you think he did it on purpose?
Yes.
He wanted a little Cinderella story 100%. Action. You really do?
Yes.
Okay.
That was a little cheese for the mouse to follow.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
I will say, I'm sure, I wonder if he meant for Luke to find it or for Jess to find it.
Oh, you think he wanted Jess to find it and be like,
I think the same thing.
I think, yeah.
I think he blew it.
This yeah. guy looks a lot like me. That's crazy.
I have a dad. Sorry. It's getting more and more.
The stroke gets worse over the episode.
Yeah.
I don't have a good Jess. I don't have a good Jess
It's
impression.
A very theory of everything.
It is.
Don't yeah. make me do my theory of everything.
No,
impression.
Please don't.
Yeah, baby. Anyway.
That's a great theory of everything impression.
Thank you. Do I make you Randy for science, baby?
I That's love really Benedict Cumberbatch. That was like epic Cumberbatch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some sick Cumberbatch. And I meant to play it when Dave comes back after reading the whole Bible, but the sound clip I love is...
It's Shakespeare, Henry VI. I like to goof off now and then too, you know.
I was mad when she said that.
Really?
Yeah, because I was like...
You were mad?
I was just like, no, you don't like to goof off. You never like to goof off. Why would you choose the most serious moment of the series so far to be like, I got a fun side?
She was more goofy when she said...
Maybe I book your combo sometime.
Maybe
mix it up a little.
Mix it up a little.
I also think it's interesting that this character picked arguably the worst Shakespearean play ever written. I mean, most people... regard Henry VI as, like, the worst of Shakespeare's plays.
Really?
And that's the one that she's, like, gonna pull the quote from.
If it's the worst, I actually do believe it, then.
I think that, well, I mean, in the sense that, like, that tells you everything you need to know about her.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's like, yeah, that's her.
Yeah, it makes sense, because Seventh-day Adventist is the worst of all the denominations, right, guys?
I like She's the Man. I thought that's my favorite Shakespeare one.
She's the man is good.
I love, Ten Things I Hate About You.
A lot of people don't think that he wrote She's the Man, but I watched
Well, it could have been a lot of people. And
there are a lot of
day,
truthers,
It doesn't
right?
matter, because yeah. it's like the work speaks for itself.
Right. Have you seen Anonymous?
It tells you
everything you need to know. Just watch it.
Okay.
That and then Loose Change.
Sweet. That'll be for our Gilmore Guys movie club that we do eventually. Loose Change and Anonymous.
I can't wait to talk about Loose Change with regards to how it references Gilmore Girls.
We're just like, la 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 la, la la
Loose Change.
Loose
Change.
Oh my gosh.
And you hear change falling?
I'm just going to shake a bag of coins the entire episode.
That'd be fun. Or that could be like a percussion instrument. I mean, anyway. Okay, here is a Twitter question that'll get us into another little story strand. We'll get back to Jimmy and Jess and who cares. But Clown Pillow tweeted, "Was it wrong of me to kill Fran? She was old, and I was sick of listening to that Lorelai complain."
Oh, no.
So,
Clown Pillow.
Guys, there is a clown pillow in Lorelai Gilmore's living room that is very disturbing. And that clown pillow now has a Twitter account, for real.
Yeah.
And killed Fran.
And according to this,
because
we don't learn how Fran died, do we? Do they say how she died?
No. Suggested
she died doing what she loved.
I thought it was 9/11.
That was two years before.
Yeah, this is 2003, okay. So this is a little bit after.
Well, she died 9/11 and no one had just seen her since then, right?
No one checked in.
No one checked into the end.
Fran's been not coming into work for about 2 years now. What's
Someone
happening?
Should give her a buzz.
I know we celebrated her birthday last year, but...
Yeah, okay, but then this storyline, it really does make Suki and Lorelai vultures.
Yep.
It is kind of gross. And
it's
I know it's
really
supposed to
gross.
Be funny and fun. I didn't laugh that much at this storyline.
No, I was very uncomfortable.
The best part about the storyline, though, is that Melissa McCarthy's husband is in the episode.
Ben Falcone. Mr. Ben Falcone.
And they got married 2 years later.
How adorable.
At a funeral.
At a funeral.
For an old lady. For the actress who played Fran.
He proposed while she was holding a casket.
It was, it made them seem, I was like, oh, wow, these are terrible people. And I understand there's a business-like approach to it, but, you know, she's still warm, probably.
And
Fran.
They're not even like tactful about it. They're just like, we really want the inn. Here, I'll help you carry this. It's not like we really should talk about, you know.
Can we set up a meeting?
Yes.
Right. Yeah. No,
it was, yeah, it really bummed
like, tell
me
us
out.
Now. It was a bad time.
Yeah.
Right. I'm very surprised that the lawyer didn't go like, are you fucking serious right now? Like, this is not a good time.
That would have been more fun of a dynamic to see.
I didn't understand when the microphone went out. Like, it's not that big of a church.
It's
so you
not,
could still hear her
That's
speak.
A small room. Yes. You could definitely hear
right.
I didn't
whatever.
Buy that at all.
The guy was saying. That was one of my favorite gags in the episode, is the rabbi coming in and being like,
yeah, that was
so funny.
I thought that was great.
Also, the pastor that was that did the speed talk right at the end when Lorelai and, what's her name? Mrs. Kim's daughter, we're talking.
Lynn.
He read the same Bible verse over and over. And I like,
it was actually Shakespeare.
I went back.
Oh, yeah, actually.
I rewound it like four times to make sure. And he kept saying, blessed are those, the meek, they shall inherit the earth, or whatever the verse
inherit
is.
They didn't
earth.
Prepare
the
one. They were just
and
like,
then they literally, like, they would start, and you would hear, inherit the earth, inherit the earth.
That's really funny. I did not pick up on that.
That's yet. Some subliminal,
That's
like,
hilarious.
Takeover
inherit
shit.
The inherit the earth, inherit the earth. Inherit the earth. Inherit the wind, and
loose change,
the
loose change.
But yeah, this storyline, it just kind of, it didn't bum me out, but it just wasn't that enjoyable to watch. And especially because it's like, it was kind of a long time coming because they set up Fran in season two with the Dragonfly Inn. She's like, no, I'll never sell it. And I don't know, I feel like...
I'm going to live forever.
There could have, yeah, pretty much, fame. There could have been a way they did it that was a little more unexpected or interesting, I feel like. Like, there could have been a slightly askew angle.
Surely.
So to just make Lorelai and Suki monsters when this lady dies.
And they find out from a sign on the window. Like, it's not, like, I feel like if they're at the funeral.
They would have known before.
They would have gotten a phone call or a page. Someone would page
Miss
them.
Miss Patty would have told them.
Or someone would have called in for a cake and been like, oh, she's dead.
Miss Patty, by the way.
I'm so glad I had all that sex.
Yeah. So good.
Just saying what we're all thinking.
Yeah.
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 We're going to die, so just do it.
Do you have think sex. If you died today, you would regret all the sex you didn't have?
No. Yeah.
I think I would.
Well, you're married. It's a little different.
Right.
But all the sex that he didn't have was with his wife yet.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's kind of sweet when you put it like that.
Right.
That makes it less of a gross...
Well, she's dead.
Your wife?
Yes, she owned an inn, a motel, and she's dead.
I'm trying to buy it from him.
Right.
Well, wait. I was gonna say, can you have the end?
There are a lot of interesting parallels in y'all's lives with.
I've never
show.
Really put that. I never really put it together until now.
That's crazy,
huh? Yeah, I didn't notice that when I was watching the episode. But
interesting.
Yeah. Caitlin's trying to buy my dead wife's inn. That's so weird. No, I didn't even notice that. Weird.
So we're bringing it up at her funeral. By the way,
no. It's totally. It's okay. It's okay.
Let's go back to
One funny line during the pallbearing when Kirk's like, "You're blocking our view."
Yeah, that was great.
That was great.
Yeah, that's some interesting.
That makes me think she was buried on her stomach, like with her,
or like her Superman, like a, yeah, like exactly. a pig, or the, like or like with an apple in the I don't
yeah,
know.
Oh my god.
Oof.
How does Kirk think dead people work?
Yeah, because it's like you lie back. No one can see this because they're listening to this. But like you lie on your back, right, when you're dead?
Regardless, would that would mean her head is at a 90-degree angle.
Unless she died really weirdly. Like, yeah. That's the only position they could put her in.
It's just her neck is just like...
Which is horrific. That's something out of a horror movie.
Oh my god,
what
yeah.
if Fran, like, Fran's ghost terrorized Suki and Lorelai for the rest of
is
the show?
Is there any truth to the rumor that Fran is a witch? And that's where I got this idea that
no,
I thought Gilmore
I'm trying
Girls
to think.
That's a conspiracy theory that Adam Brody's character mentions.
Oh, right, right, right.
A lot
right,
of conspiracy theories. I don't think Fran is real. I think she's a witch. I think she's secretly 830 years old.
Theories. What is it? His voice is like, it's not lispy.
It's very...
It's nasally.
It's nasally, and then he sort of... has like a it's
okay I, there we go
if you
that's not bad
watching him speak it's almost like his tongue is like trying to escape
that's interesting
yeah his tongue's too big for his mouth
yes
a prisoner of
and
his
it
own
wants
mouth
out.
It's very nasally and it's very much trying to get out of his mouth
I think
and
that means like, he was stung his tongue was stung by a bee and he should probably go to a doctor
yeah
I will never go to a doctor I don't believe in doctors I think they're all trying to get my money
I haven't seen that guy in a while
they have not carbonated since, soda
in the land of women that's the last time I saw him in something.
Itlo baby
he's got a show coming
so. CBS And he's doing a thing with DirecTV or something.
Good for him.
Yeah.
Great.
He just bought a DirecTV package. He's just now watching.
He just bought a DirecTV package. He's just watching.
He got a cable box.
Yeah, he's doing good. He got the premium package. Yeah.
But not. He didn't want to get show. He didn't get Showtime. Just HBO
or Cinemax. He couldn't.
Yeah,
he couldn't,
it was just HBO.
Right.
Yeah. When OC goes in syndication, that's when he's going to get all the channels.
I don't. Is it in syndication anyway?
No, that's what he's waiting for.
I don't know if they made enough episodes for them to
the
do
original content
syndication. Anyway.
Syndication. What were we talking about? Gilmore Girls?
No, we were talking about Fran's 90-degree angle head, which is horrific to think about.
Yeah, her snapped neck.
Oh, I want to talk about Jimmy and Luke's little showdown. This is a lot of good bro scenes, which kind of makes sense because this is a good bro scene right now. Mm-hmm. You know, the four of us.
What do you mean?
Well, that the four of us bros are just hanging out talking about the show.
I don't understand.
I'm not following.
Yeah.
Oh boy. Well, anyway, back to the show. Luke
like brothers
goes to what's that?
Like we're brothers?
Are we related?
Is that because we're both redheads? Because that's a little offensive.
Yeah, that's where I was jumping.
We don't all look the same.
No, I meant bros kind of short for like brothers.
It's because John and I are black.
Yep.
No, it's not.
Oh, you mean brothers? Like, oh, what's
Jimmy,
up, my brother?
No, I would never say that. I would never call you brother. I would never.
Oh, that's kind of mean.
He is your brother, though.
I would like, never pound yeah. your fist.
I didn't even say that.
I would never march in front of you anywhere.
Wow. Did you guys see Selma?
I would never see you in March. That's how sensitive I am.
Why
I saw
march?
The Imitation Game instead. I'm sorry.
It was
honor
either
the man,
or.
It was
either
honor one. The film. Did you see that billboard?
Yeah.
That was Cuckoo Bananas.
That's a little
that was playing a card that, oh, it was so ugly.
Hey, but, it's February. What are you gonna do?
Hey, it's up to you, bro.
What are you gonna see? It's February. What are you gonna see? That's how all of February was.
It is February.
It is that time.
No superhero movies coming out.
Having any good dreams lately, kids?
Maybe it's time we lay praise to the king. You know?
Luke and Jimmy. In the motel, which I didn't know Stars Hollow had a motel.
There's no reason for Stars Hollow to have an inn and a motel.
Yeah.
Two inns and a motel.
It's a little oversaturated at this point.
Isn't it Connecticut? Is that where it is?
Yeah.
Yeah,
well, it's a fictional town, though, right?
Yeah.
Stars Hollow, Connecticut. Yeah, but it's like 30 minutes from Hartford, so that's geographically.
But 20 minutes from Burbank.
Yeah.
20 minutes from
okay.
Burbank.
Okay,
it's 4 feet from Burbank.
Yeah.
It is Burbank.
Yeah.
It especially when they do the low angle shots and you just see Burbank mounts, it's like, all right, guys.
There's got to be a Hollywood sign in one of these episodes.
No, because I don't think the angle, I don't think.
Well, Connecticut does have a Hollywood sign.
That's true.
Hollywood, Connecticut is a hot spot.
Hollywood, Florida.
It's like Hollywood, Florida.
Yeah.
Hollywood, Oklahoma. But they face off in a way that's like, I really enjoyed and appreciated what Luke was trying to do, but I do think that it was a bad move not to tell Jess. I think he should have told Jess.
Yeah.
And empowered him at least with the knowledge of saying like, yeah, he's in town. I talk to him if you want to. I don't think you should. He's kind of a piece of shit. He left you when you were now 2 years old or whatever.
I get both sides of it where it's like, I understand him saying like, thinking, okay, well, his dad's just going to leave. Why bother him with this again? But also...
But he's throwing out the baby with the bathwater, I think, a little bit.
I thought that when they were in the diner, just Jess and his dad, that when they're listening to the rock song, that they're going to start singing it to each other.
Oh, they did kind of.
They started to, and then that guy ditched. I think he got stage fright or something.
He was like, I gotta go.
Don't lean on me.
Or he was conceived during a David Bowie song.
I don't know if this scene worked for me, truthfully.
It didn't work for me.
When he said, I'm your father, and the first thing he says to him is, how do you know? I'd be like, whoa, what? Like, I thought that they must have edited some stuff out there.
Maybe. Okay, so here's also the full disclosure. It's kind of a spoiler, but not really. So, the thing is, WB Warner Brothers. It's short for Warner Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I had to say. WB.
Okay.
They wanted a spinoff show starring Milo Ventimiglia as Jess.
Called Heroes.
Called Heroes, called Windward Circle. So the whole thing was going to be him with his family in like Venice Beach, California.
Sure.
They want a spinoff from Gilmore Girls. So this episode is leading into 321, which is the backdoor pilot for this spinoff that didn't happen. Yeah. So the dad being set up and him being like a good looking dude, kind of like Jess, like that they're casting for their pilot for their spinoff.
Like the next episode is going to be like, it's you and me, bachelors for life. Just like. They do like a bro high five and it's like, let's go to Venice and look for some chicks, man.
I'd watch that show.
I would watch
that. It's a little more nuanced than that, but I could get used to this.
It'd be like Californication.
Yeah, exactly.
Essentially, but like a multi-generational Californication.
Yeah. Is it weird, though, that Fran dies and suddenly Jess's dad magically appears? Like, are they the same person, or is that me just, am I just being an Adam Brody right now?
That's some interesting subtext you've brought to the show.
Or... we don't really know how she died, right? Was Jess's dad.
Maybe
Jimmy.
That was Jess's dad's prank. Because we know how Jess
it's a pretty funny
pranks.
Prank.
We love how
it's
Mary...
a pretty funny prank.
Wait,
it's
think about it. Hold up, because this might make sense. Because Jess knocks down the snowman for the dumb Bjork snowman in Bracebridge Dinner. He causes destruction for the love of Rory. Maybe Jess's dad is doing the same for...
With Fran.
He's like, Lorelai, you need the inn? Okay.
Just and he like, snaps her neck at a 90-degree angle.
Because she always wanted to look out of the casket.
Oh, yeah.
No.
That'd be one of those like eye holes in the casket.
Oh, my God.
Like, so she could
awful.
Look.
Or just a little glass, plexiglass thing where she could, you could like look in
a
there
glass
and jump
casket?
In on
it.
Smushed against it.
A glasket?
I was about to say.
A glasket. Wow.
That's the band name for this episode.
All right, well, glasket. Playing in Glasgow. So that's the
this
reason.
This one's called 90 degree angle.
So that's the reason everything happens with Jess that happens. And it's kind of the reason everything's happening in this season, I think, is happening because they wanted a Milo spinoff. They want a spinoff with Milo. They
so they're just like, we're going to make him as awful as possible so people want him to leave.
That's the thing. And this is what I wonder too, is because they really kind of hit the nuclear button on him with like his relationship with Rory and like the way he treats her and stuff. And would those things have occurred if the spinoff kind of was or wasn't happening? You know?
I think the spinoff would have been basically the OC.
Yeah.
If they're by the beach.
It was, yeah.
Like that's basically, maybe that's why they didn't do it.
Yeah. Well, and what's funny too, we'll talk about when we get to it, but he is in a leather jacket like on the beach the whole time. And
it's pretty cool.
It looks so hot.
His leather jacket at the end of this episode looks like when Tobias on Arrested Development goes like leather daddy shopping. That's
somebody
what it
says,
looks
leather
like.
Daddy?
Yeah.
Oh, do you have such a thing? Oh, this sounds like a fashion report.
Did he have a plaid shirt wrapped around his waist too, backwards? Did he have that?
It's possible.
Well, I don't think he did.
Let's open that's the fashion report and get into it.
Fashion.
Okay, so that leather jacket was problematic.
Way too many zippers.
Mm-hmm.
It looked like the thing from American Horror Story that's on the ceiling.
Oh, yeah. The guy in
the
first season.
I didn't watch it.
Leather Man. Can't find a Leather Man. Lorelai's sweater vest and the collared shirt that she wears in this episode. Do you know what I'm talking about? Where it's like, it's a vest and then the collar's like poking out. It's kind of like
a low cut.
It's not low cut because she's wearing a shirt under it. But I feel like that becomes kind of an outfit, almost like a uniform for her in a lot of season 4 and 5.
I was about to say, I feel like I've seen, while walking past the TV of future seasons, when it was on, I feel like I've seen her in that exact same outfit, just different colors.
Yeah, totally different colors. Better looking colors than this one. But then otherwise, I love Emily's gardening outfits. Mm-hmm. I'll fess up to it with her big old hat and her one scene this episode
where she's like, "Let me talk to Rory."
That's a flawless impression.
I would like to have seen what they buried Fran in.
Like where they buried?
Like, no, what outfit? She was wearing. Yeah, what outfit they?
I think it's the leather jacket.
Yeah.
Because it's like, do you just put her in some of the clothes that she owned, or do you have to go out to like a TJ Maxx or a Marshalls and buy her a new outfit? And it's like, well, we got to spend money on that. Like, it's never going to get seen again.
I would say
Stars Hollow have a TJ Maxx?
Probably not. I would say they probably just
Ross Dress for Less.
Yeah, they have a Ross for sure.
Yeah,
for sure.
Definitely a
They're
Ross.
They're lousy
kind of
with Rosses,
and maybe a Mervyn's.
I would say they would dress her in an old outfit that she already owned, but then throw like a cake in there too.
You think they put a cake
like
in there?
The last cake she ever made.
I like to imagine they put the cake in there and it like gets jostled around in transportation and just like all over like her face.
They drop for the casket way up, opens friend. And there's just cake all everywhere.
She's gotta live with cake for eternity on her face.
I didn't really notice any other fashion things in
the
it.
Robes at the very beginning.
The swingers, right? Yeah. Those are swingers, right?
Those are definitely swingers.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Oh, in the inn.
We're coming to the inn to fuck other people.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so this was a question from Twitter. At Flagophile asked, did Dennis have a small D or a big D? I can't tell which answer would make Lorelai have a whole new respect for Peg. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now let's talk about your social battery. Maybe right now it's bursting at the seams with energy. Maybe it's a little drained. Maybe you're one of those people like my friend with their phone battery that keeps it 2% all the time, even when they stay home all day. And they definitely could charge up if they wanted to, but they don't. Well, regardless of where it is, it's important to understand why it is the way it is. Why is the battery low when it gets low? Is it because you're feeling less social? Is it because you're feeling sad? Is it because of emotions you've yet to identify? Or maybe just boundaries you haven't set for yourself yet? Either way, it can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you? How do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, maybe you don't. Maybe you need a little more alone time. Well, either way, therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. This is so important because I've been in therapy for 10 plus years, for some would say, technically, 11 years this month, and it's helped me so much understand where I get my energy from, how I use my energy, how to better use my energy, and how to maintain things in a way that's sustainable and healthy and good. And that's to do, of course, with boundaries, but also just understanding who I am and what I want. And I couldn't have done so much of that work without therapy. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/GilmoreGuys today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/GilmoreGuys.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers. Aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, wow.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt. Mm-hmm. So do check them out. That's auraframes.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Because remember she says that? I got a glimpse of him in that robe. Gives me a whole new respect for
Peg. Can we say what size, we big or small, on the count of three altogether?
Us or him?
All of us. One, two, three.
Really? Yeah.
I said small.
I said bent at a 45-degree angle.
I thought a 90-degree angle.
A 90-degree angle.
It's definitely an angle.
I said medium.
I would think small.
I said really big.
It gives her a respect that she has to deal with him.
Yeah, like, oh, you put up with that.
Right.
A whole new respect would be you command that or you take that. I don't know. I don't want to get into the specifics.
I think he had a small wiener.
I do want to know this.
I'm surprised they didn't show his
pounding his fist on the
table. Can we reach out to him and just be like, what's the dick status?
What's the deal with the
wiener?
Yeah,
just like, what's the deal? Just ask,
what's the deal? I love Frasier.
What's the deal with wieners?
You say Frasier?
Yeah, I love that show.
Favorite show.
Great show.
Kelsey Grammer.
And on Seinfeld, when that guy's like, good God, Elaine.
Oh, yeah.
So funny.
He's like the psychiatrist.
Yeah. All over his face. What is a boy to do? That's all the fashion stuff I had. Did you have anything?
Those were nice robes. Those were nice robes, though. I had the swingers, the light blue with the gold trim.
Oh, sure.
Those were nice.
Were those robes from the inn?
Were they monogrammed? I didn't know.
I think they were from the inn because she said we need to get bigger robes.
Okay.
Oh, right.
So I thought they were from the inn.
It looked like a cult. That's what I originally saw them. I was like, oh, okay, they're like
from the
Heaven's Gate. They're getting ready to like buy the same tennis shoes and stuff.
We're going to Eastwick.
By the way, the only people that would be witches on the show would be Babette and Miss Patty, right?
Oh, and Fran.
You gotta put some nutsai in there, sugar. Gotta give it a little something.
The way Taylor comes into the diner dressed like Abbott and Costello.
The candy man.
Yeah, that was creepy.
I thought it was I thought he was gonna be the music man.
I thought the same thing, and I was really excited.
Yeah, I was like, okay, so cool, too, great. Actually. And then he started singing Willy Wonka, which I also thought was a really inappropriate time to advertise.
In another person's establishment?
Yeah, I think it was like a flash mob. It was like the original flash mob.
Yeah,
right? Taylor Dozy invented the
but
flash
no one
mob.
Else sings.
It's like when those kids go into the Apple store and start singing and everyone else around them is like, I just need to buy my computer.
It's like, look, my laptop is dying. I need this fixed. Please don't do this to me.
It's tax day. Don't do this to me.
I got a feeling.
I would cry if this happened to me, like at an Apple store. Like, is there anything you can do? I have years of photos.
Oh, we didn't even talk about the poor timing of Taylor's marching band during the funeral.
Yeah.
No, don't wait. No, it's canceled. Oh, and he's handing out flyers. Thank you for coming. The opening has been postponed.
Yeah, right.
Thank you for
he's
coming.
He's so he's the most self-centered person in this town for sure.
Yeah, he's a dick.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he's a dick.
I mean, the marching band, like, if you know someone's at a funeral, you'd call them and be like, hey, don't do
this. Those were dick moves, but I think overall, I don't know if Taylor...
Maybe his razor ran out of battery, like his cell phone razor.
That's true. Or his Palm Pilot.
Or his palm.
And his sidekick.
His sidekick, and he couldn't get a hold of him.
Season 6, just you wait.
I can't wait.
I get a sidekick out of you, episode 620 or 619, I don't remember.
I'm just... Like, he goes into Luke's all the time for very self-serving purposes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he never's just eating there.
Yeah.
He's probably... Hardly do ever. We ever meet his wife? Have we met?
Nope.
He probably has, like, his dead wife propped up in a chair at home, and he comes home and talks to her.
Good news, honey. Today we open the shop.
You're
just
finally
like
pretty.
You wanted.
You're finally pretty.
Do you want me to brush your hair again? 30
times?
He's
got some demons. But I don't know that he's a dick.
I think he is.
I think he is.
I gotta be honest.
I would love to see the interiors of the homes of all these characters, of Taylor and Kirk. I don't know if we ever see their homes.
Oh, do they have homes?
Well, that's probably the bigger question. I don't know if Kirk does, because he can't hold down a job.
Well, he lives with his mom.
Yeah.
What's the poverty median income of this town?
There are no poor people.
250,000.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the median income. Now, someone pointed out to... You know, it was actually... We got a lot of guff for this, actually. I didn't tell you about this, Demi. But we got a lot about us complaining about how big Lorelai's house is. And like, oh, there's no way she could afford the house. There's no way.
Small town.
We got an email from a woman named Stephanie Kramer. And she says, I'm a huge fan of the show. I have one gripe I feel compelled to share with you. You guys are driving me crazy with your constant chatter about how there's no way Lorelai could afford the house. That's not true. Housing prices aren't that high throughout most of the country. Real estate prices are astronomically high in California and plenty of other places, but not everywhere. I'm in Western Oregon, and it's cheap to live here. And she even included a listing, a home listing, to compare. Look at this home listing. It's two-story, 1,400 square foot, three-bedroom in a small town about 25 miles from Hartford. It's currently for sale for $200,000.
Could you forward that to me?
Yeah, I want to buy that place.
In 1996...
Looks like we're going to Hartford, boys.
here we go! In 1996, it sold for only $87,000. So okay. Even a single person making less than $35,000 a year could have qualified for a loan.
Thanks, Obama.
Yeah.
Thanks, Hillary.
Well, not yet.
I blame the TSA.
I blame the school. I mean, her house is like, but doesn't she come from money too?
Yeah.
She comes from money, but she didn't take any until Rory had to go to school.
Sure.
But how is she going to afford the inn? Because they say, like, hey, as long as you can get the check, and they start celebrating, like, it's no big deal.
Is this
deal.
The beginning of what happened with the housing market crash?
Mm-hmm.
Taking out a loan for the inn to buy the inn that they couldn't...
Yeah, Lorelai and Suki really tipped the domino with that.
No, they couldn't
pay
back.
They don't know what's going to happen soon.
Right.
but we talked about, remember when I said, oh, it's damaged beyond repair, blah, 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 you know, the inn, the Independence Inn.
Yeah.
And you're like, no, they're going to clean it up. But what does it look like now?
It looks like they're just like, you know what? Forget this place.
F this Independence Inn.
I don't care about fires. We're going to this new place.
Yeah.
Also, going back to the fashion, did you notice Miss Patty had a dragonfly?
Yes, I did notice that. Yeah, and a listener on Twitter noticed that as well.
She looked like a sensei.
Yeah.
It was great.
Like Miss Kim.
Yeah.
Hmm. And that's been the fashion report?
Not yet.
Whoa.
Jess has a striped shirt while he's working at the diner and it felt like Frankie Muniz.
Is that his signature? NASCAR driver Frankie Muniz?
Yes.
His striped shirts?
It's his uniform.
Number 43. I don't know what number he drives.
Good old number 43. All right. And that's been the fashion report.
Fashion.
Cool fashion report. And then Luke and Jess kind of throw down at the apartment, which I really enjoyed. Again, another good bro scene, you know? Just two bros going at it.
I thought in that throwdown at the end, and I'm sure you guys have talked about this, but everyone talks really fast on this show. I think that's sort of a staple of the show.
We've talked about that.
Yeah. I guess so. I guess they talk fast.
It's almost like they don't listen to each other.
They really don't. They're too busy thinking of what they're going to say.
Yeah.
There is an overlapping, like...
Yeah, it's a very David Mamet style of...
Aaron Sorkin must love this
yeah,
show.
Yeah, Aaron Sorkin, too.
It's totally Mamet and Sorkin... I think too, what's funny is I was reading this interview with Sean Gunn, who plays Kirk, and he was talking about how there was a scene in the video store, I think it was last season, and he was talking about, like, you know, I did this thing where I took a pause and I took a beat because I thought it was funny, and, like, I was happy with it when we were in rehearsals, blah, 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 and they edited it out.
Oh, man.
Like, they don't want any air in between at all. Like,
well, it's actually a film in each episode. They just condense it down.
It's like Sherlock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They shoot 90 minutes of an episode.
And then they just
mystery.
Cut out all the beats.
Yep.
Yeah, that'd be fascinating.
But then that big fight at the end, it was just like, it was almost like I remember writing things like that in high school of these extreme arguments that just sort of came seemingly from nowhere, where like the escalation was like this and blah, blah, and it was like, oh yeah, that's great. Like that's, but then I remembered like, oh yeah, I don't know that if I was in that situation, that's what I would say to a kid.
Right. I think with the whole season, the last two seasons, I would say, has been building up to this.
It was a big moment.
Yeah.
It's a big moment, but I feel like the...
It's a BM.
I feel like...
That's a big moment.
Scott's character should have been more respectful.
I agree that he should have...
expected that kind of reaction.
Yeah, he should have expected it, and he should have told him and empowered him with more information. So they did feel more like... equals, even though they're not, because granted, Luke's never been a dad, so he doesn't know what he's doing. He doesn't know what he's doing with this child that's living with him.
If they were planning the backdoor pilot, and if that did take off, then honestly, I feel like the move of going like, then you're out of here, is sort of a cool, like, shows don't really do that where they're just like, fine, then we give up on you. You fucked this up.
Yeah, because he did. And this isn't the first time. It's the second time.
Yeah.
He ran away.
That's true. And he came back and he's like, you know what? I'm going to be better. And he's like, no, I'm not.
Yeah. JK.
And I think he has the right to, no, not right, but whatever, because he's not his actual dad. So it's easier, I think, for, if it was his real dad, it would be very tough for that character to say, all right, we're done. You're like, you're right. out of here. But because yeah. he's not his dad, I think he gives him the ability to be like, no, you're done. You're out.
I thought I saw Scott driving a Miata on my way here. I was 99% sure. I was like, oh my
Scott
God.
Scott Patterson?
Yeah, that's him right there.
Have you worked with him before?
I've never worked with him, but I saw he had a backwards baseball cap on and was driving a Miata. And I'm like, that's so shit. Something he would do. And then I was like, oh no, it's just another guy with a backwards baseball cap driving a Miata.
Was he like, what this traffic? What are you gonna? You gotta yeah.
red light.
yeah,
this red light.
By the way, his opening monologue in this episode was it wasn't good acting.
What Wait, was which
the one
was that?
About the party? It was like the very first opening.
Oh
monologue.
Yeah,
I gotta go in there and explain to them that whole stuff.
Yeah, he just did. He seemed like he was just calling it in.
He was calling it in, not even phoning it in.
No, he's calling. He's
phoning. That's the Canadian thing.
We say calling it in.
Yeah,
you guys say phoning it in.
Yes, that's what it was.
I think. I mean, let's just take a few steps back and look at the arc of Jess over the last couple of seasons, and let's do a segment we call "Say Yes to the Jess."
Let's.
Where we decide whether we say yes to Jess or no.
So is there a song that goes to "Say Yes to the Jess"?
There's not yet.
Can you just use the theme song from "Say Yes to the Dress"?
Is there a theme song to "Say Yes to the Dress"?
I think it's like dun, 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 dun.
"Say Yes to the Dress."
Say yes to the dress.
Will she say no or yes? Will she say yes to the dress? Will she say no or yes? Will she say yes to this dress?
And she's got bitchy friends.
And it's a long theme song.
Yeah, it's a little clunky.
I can't believe they got a bitch in there in the
clunky
theme song,
and junky.
Yeah, it's a G-rated show.
It's 2003.
Yeah. Okay. So Jess moves into town. Episode 205, season 2. He hates everything. He hates everyone except for Rory because she got his reference to the Artful Dodger or whatever. But they got each other's references.
Cool.
And so he systematically kind of like inserts himself into her life and kind of weasels his way in there and kind of erodes their relationship. Her relationship with Dean, who by all accounts is a pretty good first boyfriend, but has some controlling tendencies and semi-abusive emotional tendencies.
Right.
Semi to very emotional abusive tendencies. So that occurs. Then they break up. They start dating after Jess dates, what's even her name? Poppy? What the hell's that girl's name?
Shane?
Shane, yeah.
Poppy?
I can see how you got Shane and Poppy confused.
No similar letters.
Starts dating Shane. He breaks with her immediately.
Yeah, he's like, I gotta go do something if we're gonna make this happen.
Or something. They date. He doesn't call her when she's at home.
Right.
He doesn't ever even try to get along with her mom. He kind of gets excited about going to prom. He gets a job at Walmart where he works apparently every day
as a greeter.
He works at least he's doing the forklift and stuff. He works at least 40 hours a week at Walmart,
so he could afford a home,
right?
So yes, because right.
he needs
the money going? He doesn't need all this money. He has a free place to live and he works in the diner. He
the
already
car,
has a part-time job
know.
But the car I guess he did buy the car. He gets the car.
He's spending a lot on jean jackets.
I'm also skipping on the part where he got in a car accident and fractured Rory's wrist.
And didn't was like, sorry
and
about
then
that.
And peaced out from the scene of the crime.
Yeah.
And so they date. He's not a very great boyfriend. They have a lot of physical, sexual chemistry. But he doesn't treat her super well. He doesn't support her in a lot of things. He flunks out of school. He can't take her to the prom. As an emotional reaction, he forces himself on her sexually in the previous episode. Then he gets in a fist fight with Jess, which Dean starts, flees from the scene of the crime.
Great.
And in this episode, his dad shows up and he's flunking out of school. Jess is not his dad, although his dad probably did too. And now Jess is, at the end of the episode, getting on a bus and leaving and not saying goodbye to his girlfriend.
Is he leaving?
Yeah. The next episode takes place in California.
Really?
Spoiler. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, he's on a... Where did you think he was
filmed it in Connecticut.
Yeah, yeah, that's the crazy part. They went on location in Connecticut to film it.
I just think it's so funny because he's getting on the bus and it just so happens to be the same bus that Rory's on.
Yeah. Right.
And, like, somehow the bus, like, has two stops that take Rory to her school and then it keeps going to California.
The number two bus.
Maybe there was more stops. Maybe he was switching buses. I don't know.
I like to imagine it's just one bus that has, like, 50,000 stops along the way.
With a huge duffel bag.
Yeah.
Here we are, Ohio.
So that's That's Jess Mariano, guys. That's him in a nutshell.
Great.
Do we say yes to the Jess in this episode?
No.
No. No. The episode's no.
The
answer is no.
This entire season has been you've been like just affirming, just like, Jess is bad, Jess is bad. And I'm like, yeah, no. And you're like, Jess is bad. I'm like, yes, yes, I agree.
How much, like, in the bedroom scene, did he really, like, was it rapey? Because I didn't see that episode, but they talk about it in the car a lot.
Yeah, it was very rapey.
Yeah,
she
breaks down because she realizes, because Dean does say, he treats you like dirt. And she's like, no, he doesn't treat me like dirt. But she knows. She knows that he does.
I don't understand. One minute he's happy, then he's not. And he doesn't tell me anything, ever. I mean, you're supposed to tell your girlfriend things. That's the whole point of having a girlfriend, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Now, Kyle's bedroom, what happened there?
And I'm so tired of fighting, or not even fighting, because he won't fight. He just gets mad and disappears and then comes back. And I don't like how I feel, and I don't like what I do.
Like what you do where? In Kyle's bedroom?
I don't want to feel like this. I don't want to sit around wondering when we're going to talk, if he's mad, why he's mad. I hate this. I really, really...
Honey, you gotta tell Mommy what happened in Kyle's bedroom.
Jess was upset, and I went to look for him, and we were kissing, and then it seemed like he wanted to...
Did you?
No, I didn't. And then he got all weird, like he was mad at me.
Hey, if he was mad at you because you wouldn't have sex with him, then he's a jerk.
So they're making out. They go down on the bed. She's like, Jess, no, Jess, no, Jess, no, like three times. And then she pushes him off and gets up. And he's just like, Rory, what the fuck? You. Well, he doesn't say what the fuck. But he's like, Rory, you came up here of your own accord. Like, that should have been a sign.
Well, actually, I have the exact quote that he said.
Oh, that's true.
He says...
Rory, stop! Just stop! I did not invite you up here! You came up here on your own!
Essentially, synonymous.
That's good acting.
Blaming synonymous with you were asking for it.
Right.
Kind of. I mean, so yeah, and she says, wait, wait, and then gets up, like, real quickly. She doesn't say, no, stop it, don't do that. But still, it's rapey. It's rapey.
It's pretty...
That's very political rapey. For... Gilmore Girls to
yeah,
touch
it's
on
heavy
that
because they
topic.
Don't they don't do sex scenes, they don't do party scenes really.
They do death scenes.
Yeah,
they don't. Well, not really. All the deaths happen
how,
off screen.
Like, dramatic stuff in the show. They kind of just like breeze over like oh rape, oh funeral, but like they don't make it like a whole episode arc. It's just like oh yeah, oh he happened to rape me or he happened to die or whatever.
What I find interesting about the show is a lot of the big action happens off screen. So John Hamm and Lauren Graham going on a date. That happens off screen.
But apparently it's so boring.
What's that?
Apparently it's so boring.
Right. The car accident happens off screen.
When Ben Affleck guest starred, it happened off screen.
You're right. When
you're not going to believe what I just saw. Ben Affleck. We talked for an hour.
When Tom Hanks and Tom Cruise did a guest spot as Jess's uncle.
When they sang Sweet Caroline.
Brothers. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was great.
We didn't see it.
No, but
all
I heard it was
off
great.
Screen.
Hi, I'm Tom, and I'm Tom.
We're your uncles.
Tom. Hit the tom-tom, baby. So yeah.
Is that just budget reasons, or is that because
I think it's
show...
both. I think it's both a bug and a feature.
Sometimes I think it's budget reasons, but then they have these big set pieces right. that are like seen for maybe a second. Like,
yeah, like
a giant pizza that is supposedly the world's largest pizza.
Yeah. Okay, anything else we need to talk about? I'm trying to think. Oh, there's definitely a Boom Goes the Dynamite shot in that scene where Jess is pouring Jimmy's coffee when he comes back.
Why?
It dips in a little bit.
There's no audio to record. Why are they... There's no
there's
talking.
There's the room audio.
And the coffee pouring audio.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
gotta
all
get that
Foley,
Dave Foley
stuff.
Gotta get that Dave Foley artist in there.
They were probably going for room tone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Again, though...
It was bad timing.
They're just like, all right, get the room tone, but get it in the center of the frame.
Get it in the coffee.
Did you like when Luke said...
Mike this coffee for us.
Did you like when Jess was equating Walmart with Luke owning his own business?
Yeah.
And he said... I'm the employee of the universe.
I
do you remember
like
that?
Yeah,
I loved
it.
That
was great.
Because it was the exact right balance of like, no, shut up, you dumb kid. And also, I'm absurd and ridiculous.
Right.
Like, it was that tone that I think is so hard to strike on
it's
a network
Kramer
drama.
Mode.
Yeah.
But he's right. It's Kramer, but he's right.
It's Kramer mode.
Yeah, because he gets very Kramer whenever he yells at Jess. He's just like, what are you doing? Come on. And his hair just like flies back and forth like it's on its own act. And then there's the bass that plays.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say the one thing I wanted to bring up was the backpack earlier in the episode.
Oh, that Lane
puke pack?
That was disgusting. Like, that was like the grossest prop I've ever... Like,
that happened after a beer and a half.
And she brought the backpack
to the
church.
Yeah.
Like, what's that smell? I was like, it's the backpack. That thing would reek. Like, that's not like a, wait, what does that smell? It's like, oh my God, everyone's going to leave.
That
the
was
room.
Pretty gross.
It's like,
get out of here.
Like,
the
that would have,
here.
Yeah. You ditch the backpack.
Yeah,
buy
just
a new
be
one.
Just get you what a new Jansport.
What does she need to carry? What is she carrying to the church that she's working at?
I don't know, papers. Man. It's not worth it. Yeah. It's
regret.
Not worth it.
Head on.
Regret.
Applied directly to the forehead.
Oh, no.
She's carrying just a bunch of chasers.
Yeah. What do you think Rory's reaction should have been to Dean saying that he's marrying Lindsay? Do you think it was fair? Like, what? You're really young.
I mean, it's a very real reaction, but yeah. I would have just been like, congrats, dude.
And kind of stayed out of it a little bit more.
Oh, I'm so happy for you. Yeah. Well, bye.
I don't know if it was their relationship or what, but I wouldn't have told my ex as like one of the first persons I told that I was getting engaged.
I thought that too. He said something at the end that was like, I just didn't want you to hear it like on the grapevine.
Right.
And not at a funeral.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's also a good time too.
He's waiting outside just like, hey, I gotta tell you something.
Life and death. Baby. Oh, also the last scene really reminded me of The Graduate.
Yeah.
Like the image was pretty. I don't know if they were going for that on purpose. Probably.
I feel like
two
every
kids
time
at the back
that,
of the bus.
Yeah.
It's hard not to invoke that. But Jess says, I can't go to prom. I couldn't get tickets. And Rory's like, okay. I'll
she
call
doesn't
you.
Ask any questions.
See, she knows.
Why
couldn't
someone get tickets for prom? What would be the reasoning? Because
they flunked the F out. Maybe
if
you can afford
them. So if your grades.
It's only grades, because like, it's not like there's like a limited supply. It's not like, hey, only 100 of you can come.
Yeah, right. Sold out.
That would be the worst thing.
Prom it's a mean sold school.
Out. You got to get your tickets now. Kids are camping out for prom tickets.
waiting in line.
I like the line from Mrs. Kim when they're leaving the church, like, walking dead people, not my thing, let's go.
Walking dead people, not my thing.
There it is.
Maybe she was just talking about the AMC show.
Yeah.
Probably.
Oh, also, there's this sick burn
the
just
said. Walking dead people, it's not my thing.
Close, learn to read.
Learn to read. I love how much you hate Jess's burns. You record them just to be like, ugh.
He has some pretty stupid burns.
He does.
Okay, can I ask a for real question. Let's answer it in a for real way. In a feral
Pharrell?
Way. Pharrell. Yeah, in a for real way.
Yes, I am happy.
Maybe. Someone on Twitter, and I'm so sorry to whoever this person is, but it was a very interesting question.
Were you going
to
say you can't pronounce their name?
It's Caleb Worthy. It's at Caleb Worthy.
Oh, it's Caleb Worthy. He asked, can I be on your show?
Yeah.
So this person said, would you feel the same way about Jess if he was black?
What? Or, yes. Yeah, I would.
Well, it did.
I wouldn't if it was February. you catch my drift.
I got
yeah, what,
find
what
this,
month are we watching the season in?
I gotta find this.
Is it that 28-day month?
Okay. Okay, it's
29
Melinda,
every 4 years?
Melina Pendulum. She says, I wonder how people would feel about Jess if he was played by a non-white actor. That's what she says. She didn't say, what if Jess were black? I was misquoted.
I mean, that's not much different, but I think I'd still be like, this guy's an asshole.
I feel like during the charming stuff, he might have been more charming, though. Is that weird? But I guess now we're just getting to like different actors. Like,
it wouldn't feel as
Milo.
Much like a sense of entitlement, maybe, but at the same time, it still would have been just like, okay, you still are like, sexually assaulting your girlfriend and stuff.
Yeah. Well, of course, obviously, things like that would still be horrific. But, like, think about...
I mean, face it, though, Jerome get more time than Brandon, as Kanye West would say.
Yes.
True. But think about... I feel like... Did you watch Friday Night Lights?
No.
Okay, did you guys ever?
I've watched the first season
I watched
of
the
it.
Movie.
Yeah.
I feel like there was a character was similar to this on Friday Night Lights.
Wide receiver?
I could totally be making this up. Is it the wide receiver Voodoo?
Was the goalie?
The cocky one?
Yeah, oh, goalie. That's Smash.
Oh, Smash, sorry.
Smash is that. But I feel like, I don't know, like, maybe we are culturally used to that more. Like someone feeling real raw and just kind of being rough around the edges and his parents didn't treat him well. Is that something that's we're more acquainted with from a different racial perspective than white? Do we not see the white version of that a lot? And that's why Jess is so unpalatable at times.
If there was a racial thing to it, I would say that it's just like, why is he so, why is he the way that he is? Why is he so like fed up with everything? And why is he so bratty for pretty much just having his life set out for him? Not even like just as a racial thing, just like because he's set for like living. Mm-hmm. He's set for a job. Why is he set for school? What's his problem?
Yeah,
what is
where
he
does
upset
the angst
with?
Come from? Yeah.
Anyway.
So I guess it's more of a motivation thing, but I just think cosmetically...
Cause I'd like to believe that if he were a minority character, I'd still be like, you're a real dick.
An asshole. Yeah. Yeah, I think
I'd probably be upset about it, too, because it'd be like, why is the only non-white person in Stars Hollow?
Terrible.
Besides Michelle.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
It's a bummer. Oh, well.
He is rude, though.
At least Rory gets a black.
He is a bad boy.
At least bad burns.
Yeah, well,
but great sideburns.
Learn to read.
I can't even. I don't have comment on it. I feel so hacky even playing and just being like, oh, brother.
Also, the thing about the food where he was like, I didn't order this. And he was like, well, you did now. It was like, wow.
And that ham bacon thing is like, just sew them together. He said that at one point.
Yeah.
What did he say?
He said there was like no more ham.
What if he was a Muslim?
Well, that's what they were going for.
Though.
Oh, this is also, I forgot to mention, this is the first episode in which we see the real Caesar.
Yeah, I was about to say, finally, we see Caesar.
I didn't write down the actor's name. Whoops.
Caesar Chavez?
No, but the guy, there was a fake Caesar earlier in the series. A taller, skinnier guy who looked older as well, and this is like a younger, shorter, plumper guy. And I like Caesar a lot. Just so you guys know.
Who is Caesar? The cook?
Caesar's the cook in the
He's
back.
Like, no ham.
Because no one at Luke has ever had a speaking role who, like, works there.
Yeah.
Ever.
As far as I've known, it's always just been Luke cooking, too. Yeah.
While waiting tables.
Which is why he's so stressed.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Anything else? I'm trying to think if I have any other stray comments or observations.
I hated this episode because Paris wasn't in it.
Oh yeah, Paris wasn't in it.
Come on, rock and roll.
Whoops, I hit that on accident.
I thought you played that. I was like, why?
Rock and roll, baby.
I thought the dress was conveniently located at the store.
Yeah,
they're just walking by and they're like, they're talking about prom. They're like, and here's a great dress, like. Mm-hmm. On the same block. I mean, it's a pretty small town, but nonetheless.
Right. Oh, yeah, and that did lead to the scene that broke my heart, which is Rory and Lorelai in the car. And Lorelai's like, we're going to live in this car. Keep going to the other car. That was fun. But, like,
they use their extras well, but they give them, like, bits, which I'm impressed with.
Mm-hmm.
Get that pay bump.
Mm-hmm.
Get that voucher.
Guy in car.
So.
What kind of.
I started as guy in car on Gilmore Girls.
The saddest IMDb page of all time.
But that scene in the car, it feels like, you know, Rory breaks down, and I feel like that is the lasting legacy of what Jess has done to her. I don't care that he reads books and knows who Bjork is, that Jess puts her in, and I'm not saying Dean's better, but that Jess puts her in that awful emotional position. That's what I think about when I think of the character of Jess. Mm. And this is why I don't like him. Because he makes her feel crazy. And then he makes her feel crazy for feeling crazy. It's just like a bad cycle. And I think something maybe we like familiar with people or we've been in relationships like that. We're just like, what? What is this? What am I doing? I don't feel like myself.
Oh, brother, you're telling me.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
No, I don't have any. That's just, I thought it would be cool to say.
Okay.
Because we're all brothers.
Oh, yeah. Bros.
In what way, though?
Just familial.
Right. Right.
Okay, great.
I did think when they were doing the thing, they were cleaning the chairs. I didn't know what they were doing with that. When Mrs. Kim was cleaning those chairs, do you guys know what they were doing?
Like, she's just polishing. She just does it every day. I'm sure.
I just didn't buy it. I was like, oh, you're. It felt out of place.
It was something for her to do that was like, I can't look at you right now.
Don't look. And at how me. Much do you think they paid for that David Bowie song?
Oh, they drop a lot. Anil drops. What Helen Pye said, who is like the not music supervisor, but kind of the music supervisor of the show, is that she said if they couldn't afford it, Amy would pony up the cash. Amy Sherman-Palladino, the creator, would.
I can't imagine why she would be like, I need Suffragette City in this scene.
I need Suffragette City in this.
Very quietly.
No, I totally see that, though. Every impression I've gotten of like the way the show was run is that there would be a vision, and it's just like, do it. The crew, there's this one anecdote, the crew would make... They made pins at one point that just said "Yes, Amy" on it. Like that was the kind of ship that was being.
The
run.
Thing is,
was
though,
she pretty harsh?
Yeah.
Okay.
I just don't see why that song for that scene.
It's just you get locked into it. I don't know. I would. You know what? I should. I should ask Helen about that and see if she remembers.
I like that you picked up your phone. Like, I'm going to text her right now.
I should have. I totally should have. And
you're so...
there are just plenty of other songs that people can sing the words that they both, you know.
And would maybe even feel like, oh, it's subtext, but not Suffragette
City. Like LFO, Click 5, All American Read. Like, there's tons of songs that, or artists you could pick from.
Yes. Summer Girls would be a good one.
Yeah.
Girl on TV.
On the Block.
All American Rejects. Did you mention All American Rejects?
All American Rejects.
Swing, swing. Yeah.
Yeah, that would have been way better, guys.
I can only think of All American Rejects. Taking Back Sunday, Story of the Year.
AFI.
Newfound Glory.
Avenged Sevenfold. Would have killed it.
Sleeping with my clothes on. Anything else? Anything else from this episode?
That church.
Oh, Simple Plan Perfect. That would have been the perfect song.
Simple Plan Perfect.
More addicted.
I'm a dick. I'm addicted to you. Because he's
that has subtext. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
What were you going to say about the church?
Is it the only church in the town? What's the deal?
Yeah, I think so.
Is that a running gag? Or is that just a one-timer thing?
How do they have one church and, like, four inns?
Well, it's a running gag that, like, the rabbi and the preacher are friends, which I really
But
like.
Not that they switch out.
I don't know if that ever...
Rabbi and preacher are friends.
Yeah, I don't know if that ever comes into play again, where they're like, ooh, wrap it up.
I would like for that to come into play in a bunch of different places. Like, they're holding a baptism in the park, and it's like, go, 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 we got a bar mitzvah, go.
Yeah, that'd be funny.
I guess real estate is just... I guess it's high over there.
Yeah.
It's higher than that person thinks it is because they can only afford one
church.
Yeah,
Stephanie, I don't know, man.
Again,
but
one
no,
church
I like Stephanie.
And like
Thank
four
you.
Places Sorry, to sleep if you're in town for a night.
Or I guess we call it like the community center because it couldn't be a church if it's like That's all true. Religions.
Oh, interesting.
It'd be like,
yeah.
But it's clearly a church.
That's the problem.
Right.
The chirple.
And do only two sort of religions get to use it? Like, is there anything for, like...
Well, the next scene is them clearing out for...
Scientology.
Yeah, for Scientology.
For Scientology.
That's when Tom Cruise guest stars.
Right, and they're
Tom
going...
Tom and Tom.
Are you guys done with the church yet?
Is that your Tom Cruise?
No. No.
Hey, do you want to go clear?
You want to go clear?
That's my Tom Cruise.
Hey, guys, I'm Tom Cruise.
My Tom Cruise is based on Trolley's Tom Cruise.
Oh.
Yeah.
Which is just Mark Wahlberg.
Well, Trolley looks like Tom Cruise.
Oh, totally.
Yeah. Anyway.
Trolley.
This is my Tom Cruise. Oh man, this mission's gonna be impossible.
Here's my Ving Rhames. You can do it. Because he's in Mission Impossible.
And here's my Simon Pegg in that movie. Man, these ghosts. They're fun, but they have a lot of protocol.
I like how your Simon Pegg isn't British.
Oh, these ghosts. Nash Joanne. I lost. I'm sorry. Should we rate the episode? Or do you have something else to talk about?
I'm trying to see. Oh, God. The scene where they're like, Rory goes to the door, walks away, goes to the door, walks away. Jess goes to the door, walks away.
Oh, that.
I hated that.
That was, and that's the song we use for our Gilmail Guys episodes for the cue.
La, 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 la.
Or, I'm sorry, for our Gilmore Gaps. That's what it is.
Oh.
Da, ba, or maybe it is. It's for one of them. Who cares?
Ba, 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 that one?
Ba, 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 ba.
Anyway,
but yeah, they
swing, not a good
swing,
song.
Swing from the other side, my heart.
That's my All American Rejects impression.
That's great.
I'll keep you my dirty little secret.
Oh,
dirty
God.
Little secret.
I only do the backup singers.
But it is weird that it is a dialogue-less sequence in the show.
Yeah,
there's
it's
only
really
like a
strange.
There's only a handful of them.
It was very
every
physical
season.
Comedy.
Yeah,
it was not
but it wasn't
fun.
A comedy, and it was like. And Luke watching it play out, I didn't hate it. You hated it.
I did.
I also hated it.
Yeah. I hated it.
I thought I thought when he's going to stand up, they're going to break into song, like Into the Woods.
I wish.
Oh,
you're
going
to miss me when I'm gone.
When she's got the cups?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And she's like stuck.
That's why he brought over the coffee.
I got a ticket down to California.
Oh, gosh. It's so... And I feel like the next episode, Demi, is going to be very problematic.
For me?
Well, for everyone. They're just serving two masters and...
I can't wait.
My memory of it is that it's not great.
Backdoor
we'll
pilots are they always work out so well.
Oh, the farm. Perfect. The farm is so funny.
Yeah.
Gosh. You guys remember that? The backdoor pilot for The Office?
Oh, yeah. The farm.
The farm with Thomas Middleditch.
With Middleditch was in it, yeah.
The only other
it was so
note,
good. It was so good it didn't air.
Yeah.
That's how good it was.
They were like, we can't do this.
We can't do this.
This
again.
Changes everything.
Yeah.
This is too good.
We'll put this in a vault and never speak of it again.
Be worse.
We talk a lot about how every time they're in a setting where it's like there's a large room and someone's presenting at the front of the room, two characters are just talking really loudly. It happens twice in this episode, both at the church. They're talking about the inn at the church, and they're just going, what is she saying? What is she saying? I can't hear her. Let's talk loud. Are they saying anything about the inn? And I was like, shut up. Let them get through the funeral procession.
Yeah, bummer.
Yeah, and then it happened. It wasn't as bad when they were in the back of the church during like the
blessed
talking.
Of the meek.
Yeah,
yeah.
Inherit the earth.
Inherit the earth.
Inherit the earth.
That's how we should. That's how we should end this podcast.
Inherit the earth.
Inherit the earth.
Well, let's go around the horn and rate it.
Yes.
The way this works, we rate it something out of 10 somethings. We pick something from the episode. So I'm gonna say it was solid, but a lot of it was a bummer. But I liked the Luke stuff, even though I disagreed with some of it. I liked the Rory coming to her senses stuff, and a lot of it resonated. So I'm gonna give it, 8 out of 10, 90-degree angle necks.
I hated all of the dad stuff. I hated all of it.
You hated all of it?
All of it.
Not even the stuff that it brought out with Luke?
Nope.
I thought that made it worth it.
The stuff that it brought out with Luke, I don't consider dad stuff, because the stuff that I liked of that was when he was yelling about his school. So right. I was like, if they didn't include his dad at all, I'd still be like, good.
Okay, that's interesting. Yeah, I agree with that.
But I will say that the rest of the episode was kind of fun. The funeral was fun to see, even though it was frustrating to see Lorelai and Suki be like,
monsters,
give us the
monsters.
End. Yeah. I'm going to give it 6.5 out of 10 Suffragette cities.
6.5. So subpar.
It really, well, par for me is 5. 5 is like, okay, this episode is the averagest it could be.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Suffragette cities.
I'm going to go, I thought it was a bit of a downer. That's okay. I think I'm going to give it, I was going with 6, but then you stepped your game up and went 6.5. I think I'll stay with 6, and I'm going to give it 6. Jess eye rolls out of 10. Jess eye rolls.
That's like popping a vein back
right
there.
So I'll give him 6 eye rolls.
Kill him.
I really thought that everyone tried hard in this episode. I could tell the lighting guys tried hard. The grips tried hard.
For real.
So I'm giving an 8 for effort. Hard. And I'm giving it a 10 out of 10 because
while
there's story points that I wasn't happy with, I still thought, do you know what? They tried.
They really
it
did.
Didn't work, but you can't blame someone for that.
You can admit it didn't work.
I'll admit it didn't work. And
none
I think
of the episode
worked. No, I think the dad stuff didn't work. I thought the funeral stuff was actually really funny.
Yeah.
I thought that was really well done, but I thought everyone tried hard. The lighting guy, the boom guy, he was trying so hard he even dipped in at one point.
He was trying to mic that coffee. He's like, I gotta get the sound of those drips.
I gotta get this coffee.
He's an overachiever, though, and I appreciate that in a crew. So I'm giving it a strong 10 out of 10.
Fair wow. Enough.
All right. 10 out of 10 what's?
10 out of 10 coffee sounds.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Sure.
Coffee Foley's.
Can we play that coffee sound? Love it. My favorite sound.
Wait, you're just making noises with your mouth. Can you actually play the coffee sound?
All right, we'll play the clip.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, I'll play the clip right now.
Let's roll the clip.
Here we go.
Parting with the homies.
That's what happens when they pour the coffee.
Party with the homies.
Party with the homies.
It's like a sound wave in the coffee cup.
Hey, can I get some coffee up here? You got it. Party with the homies. Thanks, man.
That we didn't play that the last time, did we?
No, we didn't.
Partying with the homies.
She sounds like a narc. She sounds like, hey, kids, I'm your age.
Hello, fellow children.
I can't
children.
Wait to party with the homies.
Oh, hey, does anybody ever know I can buy some drugs?
Now it's time for something we call where you tweet, I will follow. So, John, Calum, where can we find you on the internet? And what do you have to plug?
I'll be at the Gelson's later.
What you buying?
Just probably some cornstarch.
Ooh.
Cool.
You can find me on Twitter at John Paul Green, like the color, JohnPaulGreen.
Oh, I was like, what color, Paul?
A lot of people spell my name with E at the end, or they think I'm the guy that wrote The Fault in Our Stairs.
Oh my God, I love that book.
They left too many stairs out.
I will
I like
literally
the fault in our cars.
25 tweets a day going, I love The Fault in Our Stars, and I go, great.
What if they're just like,
I just want to let you know.
I'm a big fan.
Oh my God, when does Paper Towns come out? I don't know. I can Google it for you.
That's like my novel about, it's about a condiment company that is exclusively for breweries.
Here we go.
The salt in our bars.
Where can we find you?
That wasn't worth it.
It wasn't because you stumbled through it.
Yep.
Sorry.
You can find me. I'm just off Lincoln in Venice. You can just, I have a great apartment.
Oh, sick.
You can come by sometime. Yeah, you can find me in the club.
Bottles full of bubbly. What is it?
Bubs.
Bub.
Which he would hate. Dean
would hate.
What was his name?
Dave.
He would hate.
He'd be in the club just like, I'm having the greatest time. What's that drink? Ah! Oh, God.
Is that Cristal? Yeah. Ah.
Get me some sitting water. How dare you bring this
tap
to
water?
Me?
But no, I'm at Zac Efron. Is my Twitter handle. No, it's at Calum Worthy.
And how do you spell that?
CalumWorthy.
Beautiful. And you guys got Austin Alley. When's that? When can we watch that?
You can watch it anytime on Disney Channel. It plays
literally
throughout the day.
All the time.
Does it really Disney play
it's
so
like the
much?
700 Club. It's just on.
It is exactly like the 700 Club. It's always on.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
Between like 9 a.m. and 1 in the morning, it's probably on like 8 times. So if you just flip on Disney Channel.
Really?
It's the Golden Goose. That's the Austin and Alley channel.
Now, Caleb's in every episode. I'm not in every episode. I'm the Newman to your Kramer.
You're the Newman.
So.
Yeah. You can also catch us on the Coffer.Flop Flop show. We did a sketch show together as well.
Yep. That's on Disney X. And then your XD show. Plug it.
Yeah, Just Kidding. No, I'm not just kidding. It's called Just Kidding. It's a hidden camera show. He's in so many interviews and a lot on the show. That was really the pitch for the show.
Just kidding.
Yeah. So check it out, Disney XD.
Is he kidding, Demi?
He puts cameras of women's dresses.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Yeah.
We
no,
can't,
just kidding.
We can't.
This episode brought to you by Jess Mariano.
That's him.
It gets strokier and strokier
it
every
does.
Time.
Hey, just like, anyway.
Oh, okay.
Well, you can find me at Kevin T. Porter everywhere.
You can find me also at Zac Efron, but on Instagram. That's where I got that parked.
Sweet.
Ooh, we got cots.
Oh, Babette. You can find me at Electro Lemon. You can find the show at Gilmore Guys Show on Twitter. You can find us at Gilmore Guys Show on Instagram. You can find us on SoundCloud. You can hit us up on Tinder if you see our faces. Swipe right on the podcast.
I'm not on Tinder.
No, the podcast is.
That's like I'm not on Twitter, guys. I'm not on Tinder, guys.
Not on Tinder. You can write us an email at GilmoreGuysShow@gmail.com. We'll read it on our Gilmail Guys, also known as Emaily Gilmail.
Emaily Gilmail, baby.
Yeah.
All right.
And if you guys want, we own the rights right now to Gossip Guys. And if that's what you're thinking after this show's over.
No, you know, someone else pitched that to me on a podcast, truthfully. Someone did.
How about we talk about it at a funeral?
We should talk about it at a funeral.
Yeah, let's.
My wife's dead.
My wife. Thank you so much, guys, for joining us for this bro-ing out.
Thank you guys
for
having us.
It's been really fun. And I got to ask, do you know the theme song to the show? Are you familiar with it?
I think I could do it, yeah.
I'm pretty sure. I'd need it to be a group thing, though. I'm not warmed up vocally.
Okay.
Trap on the road, feeling lonely and so cold. All you have to do is call my name and I'll be there on the next train where you leave. I will follow anywhere that you tell me to. If you need
me to be with you,
I will follow you. Where you lead,
inherit the earth.
I will follow.
Inherit the earth.
Inherit the earth.
That you tell me to. If you need
the earth.
You need me to
inherit the earth.
Inherit the earth.
I will follow.
Inherit the earth.
Where you lead.
Inherit the earth.
Do you guys validate?
Inherit the earth.
Yeah, we're partner the Gelsons.
I'll validate you both right now. You're both handsome young men.
Thank you.
I like that song.
Goodbye.